This is podcast number 11 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we're talking about building character. This is not a news flash for anyone that knows me, but I love shopping for used books at used book sales. Several months ago, a couple of my daughters went with me. We took the little kids with us, and we'd been shopping all afternoon, but there was one more book sale not too many miles away. We debated, but then thought, what if we missed something? Of course we had to go. When I walked in, the first three bookshelves were loaded with old vintage books, my favorite kind to shop for. As I scanned the titles, I picked up a little red book called How to Teach Children Through Stories by Elizabeth McCracken, written in 1916. The chapters were broken out by character traits like courage and obedience, and I loved what I read in the introduction on how to instill character traits in children. It said, some say by the direct method, tell the children with unfailing plainness of speech and with proper penalties following what they ought to do and to be. But it is the general opinion of teachers, however, that the larger and better part is indirect. Provide the children with materials out of which they may construct their own sermons and preach them to themselves. For that is how human nature works. Children forming their convincing ideals from the heroes and heroines of the stories which they read. I flipped through the pages, and she included specific stories that could be used to teach each trait. And I thought to myself, maybe I could find some of the stories in Internet Archive when I got home and link them for you. So I held on to the book and made my way back through the maze of bookshelves to the children's room. Along the way, 15 small red volumes caught my eye. It was The Children's Hour, compiled by Ava March Tappan in 1906. I love Ava March Tappan. I'm very familiar with her works. And the collection was arranged according to the developmental levels I've been teaching you about. First, the fairy tales and mythology, then epic heroes and action heroes before the moral heroes, and stories of real people. It was a little more that I wanted to spend, though, and I debated back and forth. But then I noticed that these little red books were the same size as the first little red book on how to teach children that I'd first picked up. Was it possible they were related in some way? I opened the first book back up, and I had missed the subtitle that said, A Guide to the Use of the Children's Hour. Oh my goodness! I had just found the set of books that contained every story that Elizabeth McCracken recommended. I snatched them up and was doubly excited when the Friends of the Library ladies sold me the set for half price because it was the end of the sale. And now that they're home with me, I love them even more. Elizabeth not only gives sound advice on how to teach the traits, she gives examples of children who learned and practiced them because of the stories they heard. She also gives a great introduction to the various kinds of stories parents have to work with, and then highlights stories within the children's hour that can be used to teach each of the traits. I was so excited to share it with you. I was sure that it must be on Internet Archive, and so I was going to link it to you. But it wasn't. I couldn't find a copy anywhere. So I did the next best thing. I decided to make an audio recording of it for you. One of the pages in the new audio library that I'm going to talk about in a minute is designed around the wisdom of Elizabeth McCracken and includes recordings of many of the stories she recommended. Of course, it was too many for me to do by myself, so I asked my little team of recorders to record many of the stories for you and added some from the Forgotten Classics Library. You'll find them sorted by character trait in month 12 that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. When I started assigning these stories, though, I found out one more thing. The entire Children's Hour series isn't digitized either. Only a few of the volumes are posted. So I had to do many of the recordings myself. But now I have come to realize the treasure I have in my home, and I'll do my best to share many of the stories with you that I know that you wouldn't be able to access any other way. Like I said, I'll talk more about the audio library in a minute. But first, let me share the kind of wisdom I found in that little red book. Here's from the chapter on teaching courage. Quote, we frequently hear fathers and mothers, when need of either physical or moral courage on the part of the child arises, say, don't be afraid. Go on. There's nothing to be afraid of. Even when this speech fits the facts of the case, it very seldom has the desired effect. Almost never is the child to whom it is said helped by it to be brave. The reason is that courage is not a state of not being afraid, nor of going on because one knows there is nothing to be afraid of. Courage, whether physical or moral, is a more positive and active thing than that. It is the quality which impels one to go on, if it be desirable or right to go on, even though one be afraid, and even though there be something to be afraid of. In order to teach children to be brave, one must first of all make clear to them that this is what bravery is. Isn't that a great explanation? Or how about this one on truthfulness? Quote, it is an interesting circumstance that parents and teachers so frequently ask, how shall we teach children to tell the truth? And so seldom inquire, how shall we teach the children to be truthful? For the second question would seem to be not of greater but of prior importance. Children must first be taught to be truthful, then taught to tell the truth if necessary, for a truthful child usually learns for himself to tell the truth. It does not necessarily follow that a child who tells the truth learns too easily, so naturally, to be truthful. She also talks about why it actually backfires to try and teach character directly. To do so is a form of compulsion, and the heart resists it. The best thing to do is to plant seeds through story and then allow them to grow and bear fruit in their proper time and place. I've frequently seen well-intentioned efforts to create courses of study around character traits, taking a month, for instance, to tie everything into honesty. The problem is the child who is thus taught may understand honesty in his mind, but knowing is not doing, and knowing is not necessarily desiring. How many things do we know we ought to do, but don't? By telling a child what he should be getting out of a story, he may miss other lessons within that story that are more appropriate and applicable to his life in that moment. I've also seen mothers try and correct character flaws in the moment with a story, which is also advised against in this book and other books about teaching character I've read from the same era. For instance, a mom may catch a child telling a lie and immediately wants to find a story to teach him how bad that is. I was thinking about it. That's kind of like trying to teach me the harmful effects of chocolate chip cookies on my waistline right as a warm batch is brought out of the oven. I'm probably still going to eat them because it's really enjoyable, and I'll resist you telling me otherwise. The little child who told a lie is serving a purpose with that lie. In the moment, he's not likely ready to give it up. But teach me in another way about too many chocolate chip cookies when the temptation isn't right in front of me, and my heart may make the decision to forego them in the future. And that's the point. The heart has to see and feel and desire. No one can force that, but stories can plant desires, which Elizabeth McCracken shares many examples of. I can't remember where I read it, but in a similar vein, I heard the example given that a child going through chemo treatments doesn't want to hear of another child going through chemo treatments. He's much better served by hearing the story of a superhero who does brave things, and which teaches his heart that he can do brave things too. So systematically sharing stories by character traits isn't a problem unless you start doing the teaching and try to force the lesson on the child. When you go into the audio library, you'll see that there will be a link to each of the chapters on how to teach the traits to children from Elizabeth McCracken's book. That part is for you, and then the stories underneath are to share with your children. So let me talk about the audio library that I've named Heartwarmers. You can access it through the menu bar at welleducatedheart.com. Stories are such a vital part of educating hearts of children, but I know most of you have limited time to read stories with your kids, or you have multiple ages of children, so if you read something for the little ones, your older ones are bored, and vice versa. So audio stories are a great way to share more stories in your families. I've seen some fantastic deals through Audible for many favorite children's books, and there are other options through your library. LibriVox also offers free recordings of a lot of the public domain books. Audio stories can be listened in the car, while your kids are working on other activities with their hands, while they're doing chores like the dishes or folding laundry. It's not just the convenience that makes them so wonderful. When you listen to a story, you have the added benefit of the music and the voice that adds depth and meaning. Studies show that children who listen to books that are read aloud to them have greater reading comprehension. And for young children who are still mastering reading skills, it frees up their imagination. Remember, listening comprehension exceeds reading comprehension at that age. There are so many options for audio stories, so why am I bothering to record more of them? The answer is simple. There is a warmth to the older books that isn't found in the newer ones, and not as many people are recording these older books. Because I've spent so many years in them, I've dug up old books and stories few people even know exist. Recording them makes them more accessible to your children. Yes, LibriVox offers a lot of public domain books, but I have found many of the recorders are difficult to listen to, and I personally don't like having the voices change from chapter to chapter. I have about a dozen moms from our Well-Educated Heart group who have been learning to edit and record and are working hard to offer you quality recordings from the golden age of children's literature. In addition, I frequently come across other books that are out of print that were written after 1923 but are in public domain that I can also make available to you by having them recorded. That means in the Heartwarmers audio library, you'll have audio stories and books that you won't find anywhere else. Furthermore, they're organized according to the 12-month rotation schedule, both for history and nature, if you are using that schedule. Right now, while we're getting things going, the Heartwarmers audio library is open for free for you to access the stories. But when I decided to recruit moms from our group to record, I thought it would be really nice to give them a chance to earn a little extra money for taking the time to do it. So I am paying them. Also, I'm having to pay for increased bandwidth to handle that many recordings, and that's not cheap. That means this will be one of the few resources on my site that there will be a charge for. I have my personal reasons for giving away so many things for free. Among them is I know how tight budgets can be for young families today, so I'm trying to make this affordable. But in the near future, you will only be able to access the stories by paying a $15 a month subscription. That will give you access to the whole library, and I'll be adding several hours of new recordings every month. And to be honest, I have another project that's been floating around in my head for quite a while now, and it will require some capital to make it happen. By subscribing to these audios, after my expenses are met, I hope to grow the money to make this dream a reality, and you can be part of making it happen. I already have many stories that have been recorded that we just haven't had a chance to post yet, including the character stories that this podcast is about. I maybe should have waited to tell you about it, but I was too anxious to get the news out there. But do check back. They should be up within a few days. Let me give you a little tour of how it's organized. When you go on the main page, you'll see all the topics for the 12-month rotation schedule. When you click on one of those pages, the way the pages are laid out is that I generally put stories for young children at the beginning or the top of the page, and the farther down the page, the stories are directed at more mature listeners. So you'll find fairy tales and books like Our Little Cousin's Stories at the top of the page, and more detailed historical stories at the bottom. You'll find complete books, and you'll find short stories. In month one, I have an audio version of the True Stories of Christopher Columbus you can listen to, which is the first book in the Freedom series. Anyway, this is a massive project in the works. Your subscriptions make it possible for us to grow this reservoir of audio stories. Do keep checking back regularly as we post additional stories. And now, Since today's topic was character building, here's today's poem. My Creed by Harold Arnold Walters. I would be true, for there are those that trust me, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be friend to all, the foe, the friendless. I would be giving and forget the gift. I would be humble, for I know my weakness. I would look up and laugh and love and lift. Bye-bye. See you next time.